A couple of Sundays ago, Dave and I were standing out in front of the church before Sunday morning, and we were looking forward to having Hilton come speak. And like all of us here, we love that Hilton's a great speaker, and he has such a heart for the Lord, and he's a blessing, and he sets the bar high. And Dave jokes and says, "I feel bad for the person who has to follow up Hilton." The story gets better. So Dave asked me when I speak next, and I said, "Well, I know I'm the 14th today. The April schedule hasn't been on the church website yet, so I don't know who's speaking in April. But I know Hilton's speaking in March, and he's probably going to just speak in March. So I have nothing to worry about. He probably is not going to speak on the 7th. He spoke on the 7th. Joke's on me. The Lord has a sense of humor, but he knows who he wants to speak when, and he decides who he chooses. I want to say good morning to my brothers and sisters in Christ and any visitors that we have this morning who don't know who I am. My name is Rick Punzo. Welcome to our church here in Santa Ramon Valley. And to those who are online, good morning to you too. And before we ask the Lord help in a word of prayer, I just want to say thank you, Caitlin, for your beautiful song. Amen. Caitlin's song's title was "Love Me Still." Part of the chorus says, "You love me still, you always will. Nothing can change it." Amen. Let's pray and ask for God's help in today's message. Lord Jesus, you loved us first. You loved us from the foundation of time, Lord. You loved us before we were born. You loved us and you gave us life in itself. And you loved us when you went to the cross for us, Lord. And Lord, when we asked you to be our Lord and Savior, when we bowed our knees and acknowledged our sin before you and asked you to save us, you loved us at that moment to forgive us, Lord. And we became your child at that moment. What a special time. And Lord, as we walk this journey of life, you love us through our ups and downs, Lord Jesus. And that's why we gather here today. We gather because we love you back. We love you for all that you've done in our lives, Lord. And so, Lord, as we continue today's message, Lord, and continue what you have put on my heart, I ask for your help. Every speaker needs your help, Lord. Every speaker needs your Holy Spirit to guide it. Amen. And that you would use this message for your glory to touch hearts, to encourage us and edify the saints. And may we show Christ to each other, Lord, as we walk through your word today. We just pray all these things in your most precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can get a wide range of emotions and reactions when you hear a Sunday message. There can be laughter. There can be gratitude and joy. There could be an interest based on what's being said. There also can be tears and conviction. Some messages can make you sweat. It all depends on what's being said, how you're processing it, and what's going on in your life at the moment. Well, today I'm going to talk about a topic that might make you sweat. Some are laughing now, but it's not that bad. My topic is something that some of us have to do once or twice a year. Others have the attitude, "Well, I have to do it because it's a formality." A recent survey advised that only 14% of people who have these, 14% who have these, say that it inspires them to do better. A lot of these, when people have them, it stresses them out. For some of you, you have to do it for yourself. And for some of you, you have to do it for yourself and others. Now, I'll narrow it down even further. For those of you who are retired, I guarantee you do not miss these. For those who are retired, they may know what I'm talking about. For those of you who work, you might have just recently had one. I'm talking about the dreaded performance review. Aren't they fun? Adel, do you miss them? Probably not. I know Dean doesn't. The title of my message today is Performance Reviews. Now, we have them in our workplaces. And another type of performance review, for those of us who don't have them or it's been a while, a report card's a performance review for all of us who remember those dreaded days of school. And some are still in school now, and you have a report card. And I didn't like my time in school, I have to admit it. A little fun fact, when I was a kid, I used to hide my report card from my parents. I won't tell you why. That's a story for another day. But all of us at one time in our lives and another, we can relate from being rated for our performance. And we have a general understanding of what a performance review is. But let's set more context. What is the definition of a performance review? It's a formal assessment in which a manager evaluates an employee's work performance. These days, some companies require, along with the manager doing a performance review, that their employees do their own performance review, your own self-evaluation. Outside of performance reviews, many companies have one-on-one with their managers, weekly check-ins with their managers, daily huddles at some organizations. There's constant communication about performance. Now, what is the purpose of a performance review? To learn more about their strengths and weaknesses, offer constructive feedback for skill development in the future, assist with goal setting, review goals that were set, and they're also used for encouragement and improvement, preparation for future work. Now, the church doesn't do performance reviews. Adel, you don't go in your office and write them up. But if you did, I hope I would get a good one. And perhaps if you were going to write mine, I would send you a nice gift package before. And I was thinking about it. If Bill was going to write mine, Bill, I would take you out to golf for 9 holes before you write mine. Of course, I'm joking. I don't recommend bribing your church elders. No, the church doesn't do performance reviews, but the Lord does. Amen. Think about it for a second. He constantly wants to check in with us. Constant communication. He loves our one-on-one time with him. He always wants you to be communicating with him, no matter what's going on in your life, whether you're happy at the time or perhaps you're discouraged, whether you just had success in life or you blew it, whether your attitude is great at the moment or maybe your attitude's bad at the moment. He wants to self-evaluate ourselves, to be open and honest before him. Are you living the life the Lord wants you to live? As a Christian, oh, yes, I am. But we have to check ourselves. Are you in the place where he wants you to be? Of course I am. Are you? We have to check ourselves. Are you serving the Lord how he wants you to serve him? Not how you want to serve him, but how he wants you to serve. Are you living in his will? Not 50%, not 75%, 100%. These are the things that have convicted my heart in my journey with the Lord. He wants to encourage us to press on, doesn't he? In our personal lives and in our service for him. And he wants to show us what we need improvement on. What can we do better for him? What do we need to change? What do we need to work on in our character? Yes, the Lord does do performance reviews. Here are my 4 points that the Lord pressed on my heart today. If we could put them on the screen, thank you. 1, we're going to talk about goals today. 2, we're going to talk about performance. 3, we're going to talk about encouragement. And 4, we're going to talk about improvement. Goals. As a Christian, our goal is simply to do his good works. Amen. To serve him. To point people to Jesus. To point people to Jesus for salvation. We have these doors open for Christians to be edified and learn, but we have these doors open because we want people to come to know him. For those who walk in those doors who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we want them to know that he died on the cross for them and loves them and wants to save them. Our job as Christians is to point Jesus to each other, right? So that we may encourage each other in our journey. That we may be edifying to each other when we get together as a body. That we build each other up in our faith. We have a big goals, don't we? It's a big calling as a Christian. We have goals. We're going to look at the life of John the Baptist. I love this man's story. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. And we know from Scripture that he's talking about Jesus Christ, who's the light of the world. so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. More about John. John chapter 1, 19 through 34. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him. They're always questioning him, aren't they? "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied. And I love what he says next. "But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. Verse 29. "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him." What did he do? He pointed him to Jesus. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is God's chosen one.'" Amen. John was called by God, as we can clearly see through reading Scripture. His mission was to announce the coming of Jesus Christ and to tell people to get ready to receive him. He did not try to attack attention to himself. Take the opportunity to brag about himself. "I'm special. I'm the one calling in the wilderness. The Lord talked about me in Scripture." Did he take glory for himself? No. He was doing the goal, doing the work that was called for him to do, to point people to Jesus. When he was questioned by the priests and Levites, what did he do? He pointed him to Jesus. The next day when he saw Jesus again, what did he do? He pointed them to Jesus as a person who can forgive sin and take it away permanently. Jesus is the only way to salvation. May we remember this is our goal, to point people to Jesus, to do the work he's called us to do, to serve him as he's told us to do. When we walk in these doors on Sunday mornings, we walk out these doors. When we're in our homes with our families, when we're in our neighborhood as the Lord guides us by his Spirit, in our workplaces, if he gives us opportunity to witness, point people to Jesus. This is a no-brainer answer, but did John the Baptist meet the goals? He sure did. We need to always ask ourselves, are we meeting the goal set before us? Are we meeting our calling? And may God help us as we try to achieve our goals. Amen? My second point is about performance. Now, I'm not talking about performance where you have to write up in your performance review all your accomplishments and successes. You have to do that in a performance review, and whether you have to do your self-evaluation or your manager has to. And you have to do that in your jobs, right? Because you want to get promoted, you want to get a good review, you want to get a raise, move on in career. So I'm not talking about performance so that we list our accomplishments and successes at the Lord's feet. We're not presenting any rewards this morning. This is not the Oscars. I'm not going to stand here and announce who's the winner of the best Sunday school teacher. No. First of all, anything that the Lord lets us do for him, he allows it. Any successes that we have is through his power. He defines what his success is for his kingdom and what he wants done We had a message about this a couple weeks ago when a brother talked about that. That God defines the success that he wants done. Now, what I mean is this. Are we simply living surrendered lives? Empty vessels? Striving for a holy life? Do we have the attitude, Lord, use me how you want to use me? With the attitude, whatever I do it for your glory? Don't we agree as Christians that we all should have this testimony that our lives give glory to God? Everybody, not just the church leadership, all of us, up and down these rows, all of us can give God glory in our lives by how we live. I have three portions of Scripture around this, and I love these portions of Scripture, but they speak such to the heart of how we should conduct ourselves. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30 to 31, Jesus is speaking when he was questioned by a teacher of the law who questioned him and asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus says in verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. Brothers and sisters, may we live a life loving him with all of our heart and loving others. May we demonstrate in everything that we think, do, and say. Another verse to live by, Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. Whatever you do, work out with all your heart. Amen. As working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Amen. Brothers and sisters, may we live a life serving him with all of our heart. Let your motivation always be spiritual and never for the flesh or for self. We can get trapped in that. We got to watch ourselves. Our motivation must always be spiritual. The last verse in this point is another great section. It talks about gifts. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Who gives the gift? He does. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is to teach, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Amen. Another reminder, brothers and sisters, maybe live a life using our gifts for him. We know he gives the gifts, right? You didn't create it yourself. Don't waste the gifts that God has given you. Everybody has a gift. Don't waste it. May we be a blessing in our service. You know, it got me thinking about this one, and that's a hard question to ask ourselves, and I ask myself this. If you ask the person that you work mostly with in ministry, what would they say about you? Would they say that you're a blessing and a privilege to serve with? What's your conduct when you serve? Will they say that you are an asset in the ministry, or are you a liability? Is the person above you, whether it's a church leadership person or a person in charge of ministry, would they say, you know, Rick's a pain in his ministry. He comes with a bad attitude, he's complaining, he doesn't listen, he has a bad attitude, doesn't want to follow orders. I'd be ashamed if a brother or sister said that about me. I'd hope a brother and sister would say, you know what? Rick's like Dean. He's a great servant. Serves all of his heart, and he falls in line, and he's such an asset and a blessing in the ministry. Brothers and sisters, we are a blessed church at Santa Ramon Valley Bible Church. Amen. Until God calls us home, we have to work hard together. We have to be a blessing in our ministry with each other. If you're doing your ministry and you're not a blessing, we're just not doing it right. We need to always watch ourselves and monitor. Amen? My third point is encouragement. One of the purposes of a performance review is to encourage the employee in their job so that the employee feels appreciated. Helps them with motivation. You want your employees hopefully to be satisfied, and all of this is to build up the employee to do a good job. In our Christian life, doesn't the Lord want us to do the same, to encourage us and build us up? The Bible is full of encouraging stories and verses. You can go on and on and on. And one of my favorite encouraging sections in the Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is defending his ministry from a troubled Corinthian church. And in chapter 4, he's speaking about his present sufferings and his distresses. But he also speaks to his future glory, which he knew lay before him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18 says this. So do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. Something to look forward to. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen. That's a great verse. Great section of scripture, those two verses. Encouragement, isn't it? Encouragement is needed in every aspect of our lives. We need it in our jobs. We need it personally. And we know we're living in a spiritual battle. We're living in a world, this is not his kingdom. And we get attacked every day. We talk about it constantly because it is a constant. Satan will attack you when you're alone. He'll attack you with your family. He'll attack you in your dreams. He'll attack you at work. He don't care. But during our journey, as we spend time with the Lord, he wants to encourage us. Press on in your trials and testings, Dave. Alexander, he reminds you he's in control. Sophia reminds you that he's all-powerful. The list goes on and on, doesn't it? He wants to remind us that we have an eternity to look forward to, like the verses that we just read. He wants to encourage you in your ministry. He wants to say, good job. Keep on doing the work. You did my work and keep on doing it. Every ministry, God wants to encourage you in. You know, I was thinking about the worship team, and I was thinking about the Easter celebration. Everybody in the worship team did an awesome job. And Caitlin's in it. And while I was thinking about the worship team, I was thinking about, you know, they practice on Wednesdays. But there's a lot of practice behind the scenes. Right? A lot of ministry, you have to practice behind the scenes. It just, you know, just don't snap their fingers. And I know Caitlin practices her songs, and I see how Archie practices. And I know everybody in the worship team, I know you practice hard behind the scenes. And the performance, the Easter celebration was a blessing. And I know afterwards, you know, we clap after each song, right, to encourage. And then afterwards, I know people go up to each one, thank you, amen. But that's what God wants us to do, to encourage each other in our ministries, because we need it. It's hard to serve. You got to roll up your sleeves. And the Lord knows it. Oh, he knows ministry. Didn't he do it when he was down here for 3.5 years? Oh, his ministry was hard. Wasn't the disciples' ministry hard? Wasn't Paul, those who started the church? And the Lord wants to say, I want to encourage you in your ministry. I say to yourself, let the Lord encourage you. Tell him when you need it. There's nothing wrong with it. There's been times in my life when I've been on my knees asking those words, Lord, will you encourage me? I'm stressed at work. I have anxiety. I have a presentation in front of physicians or VPs. I get nervous. I get on my knees, Lord, I need encouragement. I need your help. A personal struggle. Everybody has personal struggles, a battle you fight. Well, Lord, I'm struggling. Give me victory over this, Lord. Please help your servant. Or perhaps a health situation. Those are tough. A family situation that's not going well. or that you went through. It's okay. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I need your encouragement. And he'll provide it when you meet with him one-on-one. As you comb through his word, as you read and meditate on his promises, as you pray, and as you be still and listen to his voice, encouragement will come. Amen. My last point is improvement. To me, this is the sweat part. I should have brought a little towel here because I get hot when I think about improvement. But as in a performance review, it's important to discuss how you can improve in your job. What skills you need to develop, what training you need to take. It's needed to prepare for future work. Well, the Lord wants us to do the same in our lives when he meets with us. He gives us his word to tell us that his word is there to improve us. I got one portion of scripture to read. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We know this verse very well, these two verses. Chapter 3, 16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, useful for rebuking, useful for correcting, useful for training in righteousness. Amen. It's important to read his word, isn't it? Verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Improvement's a tough one. But as we meet with the Lord in our performance reviews, he wants us to grow. He wants to develop us, doesn't he? He wants to continue to change your character. He may ask you to give up something. He may ask you to do more. And we all know we can never say that we made it in the Christian life. You know, sometimes the bad reputations that we have as Christians has become too self-righteous. And people in the world will say that if you have a coworker or somebody will make a comment, oh, you Christians think you're perfect. And we know we're not perfect. And if we did, we're being foolish, right? The joke's on you if you think you are. We all need work. In the past, before the job I had now, I was in a manager position. I had to write performance reviews. So I know many here have had employees that direct reports and you had to write performance reviews. Now, the employees whose performances were great, where their performance review was easy to write, and in the performance review meeting, everything went smoothly, there was no challenges, those were a piece of cake. Oh, the ones that you had problem children. I said this before, and I'll say it again, managing employees, I used to call it glorified babysitting. The employees whose performance were not good, where you had to address performance, and in the performance review meeting, it was a challenge. They were fighting you in the review meeting. I've always remembered this. They all had the same common denominators. There were three things that always stood out to me when I had employees in this bucket. One is this one. Work was not a priority. Jesus should be number one. Going to church should be number one. Not because someone tells you to. Not because I want my pastor to see me. I want to be here. If the Lord gives you a ministry, it should be number one. God gives you a family, they should be number one. God gives you a spouse, they should be number one. If God gives you children, they should be number one. And maybe if the Lord is showing you that you need to improve on, perhaps Jesus is not number one in this area. God has convicted me and shown me many things in my life. And one thing he's clearly said to me when I have struggled with something and I've argued with him, he said, Rick, I'm not number one in this area of your life. Make me number one. Don't I deserve it? Jesus should be number one. Second thing that stood out to me about employees in this bucket, they blamed others for their performance. Pointing the fingers and said, well, they're not doing it. I can still hear some of these employees while they argued with me. They complained about double standard and favoritism. Look, we all know life is unfair. And there's a joke saying, we all know life is unfair, get over it. Not easy, as said. But as Christians, we need to take personal accountability. We need to accept that we need to improve. We need to accept that our character needs to change. Don't worry about what others are doing. Don't be concerned about others. You can't blame anybody in the Christian life while you're not giving it all. I want to blame the church because I'm not doing my ministry. I don't want to do my ministry because the church did it, whatever. We can have a complaining, blaming heart, a pointed finger heart. We can point to things. And God says, stay in your lane, as they say. Personal accountability is needed. The third thing that hit me was they were not willing to listen or apply anything. They weren't willing to listen, apply anything on what they need to improve on. How to implement things so they could improve. They seem more concerned about arguing and being in denial. See, the key is if the Lord shows you things in your life that he wants you to change or give up or improve on, you need to listen with a willing heart and mind. We have to remember what he's showing us is best for us, what's needed for our lives. He wants to use us for his glory, doesn't he? He wants to bless us now and bless us in the future. Let me ask you this question. I've asked myself this question, so I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. What if you get to heaven one day, and the Lord says, you know, I'll use my name, Rick, I couldn't use you in this area because you weren't willing to change. You weren't willing to listen with a willing heart. You were too stubborn. Yes, I gave you this ministry, but I really wanted you to be doing this. I really wanted you here. But you weren't willing to listen and apply anything I was trying to tell you. That's pretty convicting, isn't it? What if he's telling you that now? But Jesus is not number one. If we're always looking at other people and not taking a personal accountability, if we're not willing to listen and apply, we're never going to change. We're never going to improve for him. We have a Savior that loves us. He deserves our all. I want to encourage you today. Always be willing to change. Always be willing to change. Always be willing to come before the Lord and say, Lord, what do I need to work on? Whether he uses his pastor or a mentor or his word, a song. Work on improving for the Lord. Amen? I want to end with a story. It's a short story. I had one employee I inherited. And we were going to sit down for the first time. We were going to have our first one-on-one. And I had to look through their file. And I knew their reviews were bad. So I was like, oh, this is going to be a hard one. And we came into the room, and it was he and I, and we sat down. And before I started, the gentleman raised his hand. And I said, please, go ahead. And he said, I got to be honest with you. Work hasn't been a priority. He goes, I know you see my performance reviews. They haven't been that good. I haven't given my all, and I just haven't been listening, and haven't been following anything that's been told to me. He came with a really humble, open heart and mind. And he looks at me and says, tell me what I need to do, Rick. Just tell me what I need to do. And he stopped talking. And usually people like to fight back and forth. He let me just speak for 10 minutes. I said, these are the goals. These are things that I think you need to improve on. This is how we're going to get there. These are the tools that you can use. And he sat there the whole time, and he just quietly wrote everything down. We were done. He said, thank you, and he left. And for 6 months, he was under my department. And 6 months later, I wrote his performance review. And he got a good one. I was very impressed by his attitude. It stuck with me. That's the attitude that we need to have. Open heart and mind. Ready to listen and apply. It may not be pleasant. The Lord stresses you. Sometimes you want to run the other way. I don't want to do that, Lord. Oh. But submit yourself to him. He knows your struggles. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what you've been through in life. He's not sympathetic. He's compassionate, isn't he? He's understanding. He's loving and forgiving. So when he shows you something to change on your character or stretches you, it's a loving Savior that's dealing with us. It's a loving Savior that we're meeting with. Amen? Amen. Our time has ended today, and it's time to end. But I just want to encourage you this morning. Performance reviews. You can call it whatever you want, but I like to call my time with the Lord, it's a performance review. As we sit before Him, remember the goals set before us. Remember to live the life the Lord wants you to live, like those verses that we read about loving with all of our heart, serving Him with all of our heart, taking the gifts that He gives us, lay it at His feet, and through Your power, Lord, I will do my ministry to give You glory. Remember when you sit with Him, ask for encouragement because you'll need it. And lastly, again, never stop working on improving, changing your character, stretching for Him, for His service. And may we all do this. You know, remember the song that Caitlin sang, Love Me Still. We have to pause and ask our question, Lord, You know You love me. How much do I love You, Lord? And if I love You with all my heart and all my mind, I'll do my best for Your kingdom. Amen? Amen. Let's end in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for our time together today, Lord. Lord, we come on Sunday mornings and we walk through those doors on breaking of bread to remember Your body and blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary, Lord. We do that in remembrance of You for Your love for us when we were sinners. You died for us when we were sinners. We asked You to save us, Lord. And we pray that anybody that's in our presence today who does not know You as Lord and Savior, that they would see how much You love them, that they would confess their sin at Your feet, acknowledge what You did on their cross, Your death, burial, and resurrection. They will be saved, and they will be Your child, and they will have an eternity set in Your presence. And Lord, as Your saints, as Your believers, Lord, we thank You for Your love for us each and every day. It doesn't stop through the ups and downs of this life, the journey that we have. But Lord, may we live a life loving You back by doing the work that You called us to do, Lord, by having the right attitude. And we thank You for Your encouragement. And we thank You when You do show us things that we need to improve on our character. We do thank You that You stretch us, Lord, because all this is for Your glory. And You know what's best for us. And we'll have a most blessed life when You let You do Your work in our lives, Lord Jesus. So we praise You and we love You today, Lord. And as we walk out those doors, may we show Christ to each other in a world that needs You. We ask for Your protection on the road until the next time that we meet. We pray all these things in Your most precious name. Amen.